Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting podcast. Visit our website at oalaig.org, where you'll find several speaker feeds with over 400 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Debbie.
Hi, I'm Debbie, recovering compulsive overeater, anorexic.
Hi, Debbie.
Wow, this meeting is always really big at the first January. congratulations, happy birthday. Wow, everything you guys said, it just like this is definitely home for me. I've been in these rooms since I was 23. That's 24 years ago. I did take a hiatus when I first came in. I had no sugar was my thing, and then thought my first husband would be a good higher power. That, not a good idea. Nor was my second husband a good higher power. But so basically, I don't know where I originally heard of OA. All I know is that I remember distinctly my last binge that, you know, was on, because the sugar was definitely, and it's still, my total drug of choice. But I had a big binge of like Teddy Grahams and hot tamales, and woke up from passing out from it, and somehow called the OA hotline. And I don't even know if there's an OA hotline anymore. It's just the internet now. But, and I showed up to the Hill Street meeting, and I was done. I just remember just crying the whole time. I got a sponsor in my first meeting, and then I became an OA cheerleader and wanted everybody I knew that had a problem with food to join OA, and it doesn't work like that. and I was kind of a miserable person to be around because I just became very controlling with, no, I can't have this and I can't eat that, but that's what I had to do at that time. So I went through a few sponsors because I had to learn that my sponsor wasn't my everything, wasn't my God, my mom, my dad. It was just someone that was in program that was helping me through the steps. But it took me quite a few years to learn that. And I remember after I moved to San Francisco, I was like, I was done with having sponsors dump me. And it was like 5 years was my hiatus. And then I went through my divorce. And I remember wandering the streets of San Francisco trying to find a meeting. Because once the seed was planted, I still had my original For Today reader that's like taped together and has all my dates of when I had abstinence. And, I knew I had to come back to meetings. And then it took a little while when I came back to LA. And then by 2000, I definitely recommitted. And, you know, I started a no sugar again then. And then currently I have 13 and a half years of abstinence, and it's a much different abstinence now. It's no binging, no starving, not leaving the program, not leaving the planet Earth, because my story is one that I've tried to take with my life quite a few times. I've been in hospitals, and the last time I did, where my ex-husband found me, and it was like, okay, this isn't being really abstinent, you know, and then I was trying to do the no sugar thing again, and, you know, digging brownies out of garbage cans. It was just like, I couldn't do it. And I finally I made an abstinence that I could live with. And my food plan is different. It's, you know, 3 meals a day and 2 snacks. And I can basically eat what I want. And I know food starts talking to me in my house. It's like, no, this can't be in my house anymore. And so I don't have a lot of food in my house. I've been in program for a long time, but I'm still compulsive overeater and anorexic, and thank God I have these tools, all these tools, because I know for a fact I would not be alive. The fact that I'm 47 is, I do not feel like I'm 47, but so just a little bit of my history. I was basically adopted when I was 1 month old into a family of addicts, compulsive eaters. And I was supposed to save their marriage. And that did not work because by the time I was 8, My adopted father had divorced. I mean, he had an affair. My adopted mother found out she was pregnant 2 weeks before he asked her for divorce. And then I became mom and dad to everybody when I was 8. So, I did not have much of a childhood. I just remember by the time I was 13, I think I hit a really bad depression. I just remember being just in and out of hospitals, you know, all through high school. Then I finally went away to college. I came here to go to FITM, and things changed a bit. But for me, I know that I don't think I was born with this disease, because part of my story too is I did meet my natural mother 27 years ago, and when I met that my blood family, I was like, "You're the family I always wanted," you know. But you know, there's challenges with that, and that's. But I know, like, just from when I was very young, you know, I was always forced to eat what was on my plate, and you know, just this horrible liver and just food I did not want to eat, and I would have to just sit there. They would not let me leave the table, so I just learned how to like chew it up, go spit it out. Just, you know, I always had this weird. I always had weird relationship with food, and you know, just sneaking, just, you know. And then I was, because thank you, Tiana, for asking me to leave, and she asked me like a month ago, so you have a lot of time to think about what you're going to share when you're up here. And then I've learned you just share whatever God wants you to share. But all through high school, I was like, no wonder I didn't learn anything. I wasn't eating. I mean, I never ate. I was depressed all the time. I was put on meds when I was very young. You know, I had extreme anxiety. You know, it's just, and the first words that ever came out of my mouth was like, "I'm adopted." You know, it's like, I don't belong to these people. You know, I never felt like I connected. These weren't my people. And I mean, I think I finally found my people when I came into these rooms. I mean, as soon as I walked in, I was like, "Oh my God, there's people that feel the same way I do." But you know, that was it's, yeah. These, let's see. So. Yeah, so life, childhood, teenagers, I think life was rough. I don't remember a lot of good times. By the time when I was 23, when I came in here, it was like, you know, I met my first husband shortly after. No one really told me not to date when you first come into program. That might have been a good idea, but it was a healthy relationship for the period of time it was. I mean, I wasn't that healthy. I was just coming in. I didn't know how to be in a relationship without fighting, or because that's what all I knew. And so, you know, that relationship was pretty dysfunctional. And, you know, and then my next relationship that was, you know, 12 years, which is quite a long time, that, you know, I mean, that God, you know, God, your picker is what it is at that time. And, you know, God put this person in my life, and I've learned in this program not to have regrets, you know, but I'm like, God, 12 years of my life, I was in this relationship that, you know, was basically roommates with investments. And, I'm never going to do that again. But, I think like the last, 3.5 years since my divorce, I've grown so much. I just didn't even realize how much I had grown when my sponsor that I have now, who's been my sponsor, it was my 10th year working with her, which is a very special relationship. And the fact that I can text her, "I need to talk now," you know, and she's like, "Okay, call me." You know, and I guess it just takes what it takes until you're willing to do the work, you know. And I have gone through the steps many times in this program, but I did not know how to deal with relationships. And my sponsor kept telling me to go to another room, and I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. Then finally, you know, I had another story to tell about how many men I'd been with that week or whatever, and you know, my sponsor was like, "No, get to that room." And I was willing. I was finally willing to walk into Al-Anon by the time, the same way I did when I was 23, crying, just going, I do not know how to do this, you know. And I've learned that the credits don't transfer from this program into that program. You know, I'm working the steps completely. I've been in there 2 years working them. But I've also learned all my sponsors in this room, they're also in that room because it's, you know, it's, you know, I just, for me, it's the graduate program. It's like I have to, it's given me even more tools to put in my toolbox. And if I didn't have all these tools that I've learned in these rooms, I mean, I know for a fact I would not be alive because I didn't know how to live. And so it's a real gift. Even the, you know, every day I drive into work and I tell my sponsor, okay, with the intention, I might just, most times I'm just leaving a message that, you know, I have an attitude of gratitude. You know, I may not want to go to work and show up, but I gotta. And I'm grateful I have the work. And I've learned how to pause and not react, which I don't do perfectly, but I'm doing it way better in the workplace than I've ever done it. And I mean, just like in this last year was really challenging with work. And my old self was just said, forget about it. I'm walking out. I'm not going to deal with this. I don't need these people. Blah, blah. And I don't do that anymore. You know, I don't. Like the last 7 months is like really kind of mind blowing to me what happened in my life. I mean, I came back from a vacation and I said, I'm going to stop saying I can't and say I can. And all these things I kept saying that I would never build a buy property again, you know, because after my divorce, I was never going to find love again in my life. This isn't going to happen. You know, it's like, and I kept putting myself out there, and here I am to say today, I bought a condo. I moved December 17th. This a beautiful home that I never thought I would be able to do again. I have the most healthy relationship in my life that I've ever experienced. And it's also, I just don't even know how it happened. I mean, I think it's, I put it in my life by being open, you know, and doing things differently and trusting, like, okay, I, you know, just like my sponsor would always have me just practice trusting, you know, because, you know, I thought my second marriage was like, okay, this is for life, you know, I'm planning our retirement and doing all this, and it wasn't for life. And for me, it's like nothing is, my boyfriend now is like, he's 10 years younger than I am, and he sees it like forever, and I'm like, nothing's forever. You know, I'm like, I look at it today. You know, it's like right where my feet are, that's how I have to live my life, because if I start going in the future and what's going to happen, and I've learned I can't ever say never either, because that's my will. God's will is like, be open, you know. I've learned to like to pray for an open mind and a new experience, and I'm still, even though I can have really good things in my life, I can be still crying and I not know why, because it's feelings. You know, I don't want to feel, and I've learned I have to feel, because, you know, after you've been in program as long as I have, you really can't do you can't do things the same way you used to. I mean, I used everything I could possibly use to not feel growing up. Drugs, alcohol, sex, food, you know, just whatever I could do so I could be numb, because I did not want to feel the pain. And, you know, it's amazing how I've just continually, the big book, the daily readers, it says the same thing, but you can read it again and again. You're like, oh, I didn't read that before. You know, I didn't remember reading that before. And, you know, it's like that, you know, light bulb goes off and you're just like, oh, okay, I'm willing to do this now. You know, I wasn't, you know, I mean, it took me 12 years of a therapist telling me my relationship. She's like, you have an emotional relationship, not a physical relationship. I was like, really? It took me 12 years to figure that out. I was like, okay. But, you know, and that relationship, the holidays had been so hard because we decided to divorce on Thanksgiving, and we went through the holidays, and it was, you know, the elephant in the room. Everyone knew we were breaking up, and this holiday was a whole different ball game. It was like I had a, not even with my, I mean, my ex-husband and I now, we did have a divorce with dignity, which was actually, was a gift, because being in this room, you know, I went through one divorce without the program and one divorce in program. And it was hard. I think it was harder than I thought it was going to be afterwards, dealing with being alone and dating and all the feelings. But what got me through is these rooms, and sponsoring. It's like I'm calling my sponsor, driving, numerous times. I got to be a service. I can't want to die right now because I got to be there for my sponsee, so I got to figure it out, But then it's like, okay, I have to breathe. And a lot of times I'm like, oh, I'm breathing out, but I'm forgetting to breathe in. And it's like breathing in faith, breathing out fear. I mean, I have it tattooed on my wrist, and my friend would be like, she's like, look at your wrist. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. People know me. I have quite a few tattoos, and my stomach was always, it's still, body issues are still an issue, but not like they were. I mean, I would just hit myself. I don't remember a time that I liked my body or liked, and I had to get that gratification from somebody else that told me that I was okay. I had to get a big tattoo on my stomach to be okay with my stomach. And now I know, like, man, I adopted mom. She did the best she could, but she didn't want me to be fat like her. And I always just saw dieting and this and that. It was all about dieting and me not being like that, And then my sister being born, where she had, she was much bigger than me because I wasn't from their gene pool. I was just a different person. That was always, oh, it's a small daddy, And so I kind of thrived on that being small and perfect. And now I know it's like, I don't have to be perfect. I don't want to be perfect. I'm not perfect. But my mom, my adoptive mom, at 3 years old, I can still remember, I was like in a yellow, pink, polka dot bikini, and she was telling me to suck my stomach in. And to this day, I have just have to work on letting air in my stomach and letting, it's okay to let my stomach out, it's like I've learned, it's like I can't blame it on my parents anymore. It's like they did the best they could, but it's like, man, they didn't know how to be parents. And I remember my dad saying in one of my big therapy sessions at one of the hospitals I was in, well, if she would have been a boy, I wouldn't know how to deal with her. I'm like, you guys had a choice. You adopted me. you didn't have to have me, But I was like, okay, yeah, they're special, I've had to learn, like, my relationship, like, when I met my natural mother, it was like, wow, genes. We look so much alike. We are very much alike, but she's not capable of being emotionally there, but she can throw money at it, and it was very tough after my second divorce because they loved my ex-husband and they kept inviting him to all the holidays. And so I wasn't showing up, it took a while for her sister to talk to me, my aunt, and I had to tell her, we're friends, but still, he's my ex-husband. It's like we're going through, our own transitions and having him at Thanksgiving and Christmas, where I'm supposed to be the daughter you want here, But this Christmas, I brought my boyfriend, and, it was definitely different. Our families met, and I just have to take all this, like, one day at a time, because it is a very serious, committed relationship, but he also works crazy hours, and he was in the film business, and, it's hard. Like, I'm used to, when I was in a relationship, my other relationships, they always went very fast. We're together all the time. We moved in together. We got married, and it clearly was my will. Now it's like, you know, my big thing on this in this relationship is I do not want to lose myself, because I will do that. I will lose myself and in the relationship and forget about me and my program and what I have to do to stay healthy. And in this relationship, he sees me for me, and I get to be me, and which is still hard because my ex and I, we fought a lot. And now, I remember I used to always say to people, if you're not fighting, then you don't have a good relationship, because you've got to fight to get it out, you know. And because that's how I dealt with things until I learned how to be in a relationship, or just to be in all relationships, that I don't have to always be right. I can listen. I don't have to yell. You know, I didn't have to be all drama, because I thrived on drama. Then I just started watching drama on TV and just escape that way. You know, so now I had a friend at work say, so aren't you worried that you guys don't fight at all? I go, no, not at all. This is wonderful. I'm like, I go, we don't keep secrets. I go, we talk, we communicate. I'm like, this is, you know, because God put this in my life, and I'm, you know, it's still challenging. I have a lot of time, you know, on my hands, but and I'm also seeing friendships changing. Like, once I had one of my best friends, I'm not being the party girl with him and running around WeHo. I'm in a relationship now, and seeing that relationship change. And one thing a great tool that's a very hard tool to do in program regarding any person that you don't particularly care for or that's bothering you, is like to learn to pray for them, to pray for them that they have everything that you want in your life, and all the good things, be healthy, and success. And you're supposed to do that for 2 weeks. But it's amazing. As soon as, you know, I get on my knees and do that, it definitely, I see a shift. The resentment starts to lift. You know, just like doing a 10th step. And, you know, part of a 10th step that I do is, you know, 5 things I did good today, 5 things I surrender, and 5 things I'm grateful for. And, you know, just staying in that place of gratitude, even though it is, like I tell my sponsors, recovery is not easy. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it, you know, and it takes a lot of work. But, and some days you just feel horrible, and you don't want to feel the feelings, and you're like, why am I feeling this? And then an hour later, you can have a shift, and like, oh, that's not so bad after all, you know. And then it can, you know, it can go up and it can go down, but I know now that it will go up again. You know, it's like I'm not going to be in this horrible dark hole forever. Those dark holes are so much smaller now, because I can reach out to people, and I don't, because I can isolate and not be eating a pint of ice cream while I'm watching TV, but just still be at home isolating watching TV. And that's the gift of like having to come here and speak. Like, okay, I can't just stay home, or having to come meet my sponsee. It's like making things to get me myself out of the house. Like for me, work, I've done freelance, and I've done being on staff, and I need to be on staff. It helps me to have structure in my life, to have a reason to get up in the morning. And also in this program, I was able to go back to school and find my passion. It's something I wanted to make a living. Today, I can't make it my living, but I was able to. I'm glad I found this passion of being able to like help people through art, and you know, so I help people through entertainment art for a living, but. And it's not, some people say, well, entertainment's, I'm like, no, it's the craziest business you could possibly be in, but somehow it's the business that I'm in, and I can support myself, and that's a big thing, to be able to be financially independent. And I mean, because I would use money too. I mean, I would go shopping, I mean, I would, anything I could do to not feel, you know, and I've you know, the fact that I can be like live within my means and not use credit cards and not have save and have savings. And, you know, those are all gifts of this program. It's not, you know, letting the food down is the first thing, but then your whole life opens up and it can be really hard, but it can also be, you know, a real gift. And if I just keep staying in today and have an open mind and let new experiences happen, it's life can, I can get through life. And some days it's full of joy and some days not so much, but that's, you know, and then I can go to a meeting and have a shift and go, oh, you know, or, and I've learned also, it's, if I'm just so in my head, like on New Year's, for example, my boyfriend, he ended up having to work, and I was, and a friend of mine had, who's actually in program, who had surgery, and I was able to like, oh, I get to get out of my head and go be of service to someone else and to be there for them. And that was a gift. I mean, I was, that I didn't have to be selfish. Oh, I'm not going to be with my boyfriend. And it was like, I just could get, I didn't have to let that, those emotions take me down, you know, because those, something like that could easily take me down. And so for anyone that's new or struggling, it's, you just have to just keep coming, keep reaching out, keep, because it does get better, and it does get hard too, but I just am continually grateful that I do have these rooms, even though sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to go, I don't want to do the writing, I don't want to do this, it's like, nope, gotta, because it's not, I'm not going to be a very happy person to myself or to anyone else around me if I'm not doing the work in these rooms. So thanks for everyone for being here. So I have some time for questions. Hi.
Thanks, Debbie. Can you talk a little bit about how your relationship with your higher power started and how it's grown in recovery?
Okay, the question was how my relationship with my higher power, how it started, how it's grown in recovery. I was raised in church, in a Lutheran church. It was kind of like, I went to a private school. It was all kind of forced on me. And, you know, as I got older, I was more of like, it was fearful. And it was like, why would all these bad things happen if there was a God? And then, but I still kind of had a little bit like, there's something bigger than me. And then when I came into the rooms, it helped me find my higher power, just that it's my higher power. And it's been a journey of, like, I don't talk about God outside of these rooms, you know, unless I feel safe, because my higher power, I don't go to any particular, you know, church or anything, because for me, these rooms are my church, and working the steps. And it's like, as soon as I wake, because I wake up in the morning always with anxiety, but I have to say, you know, the serenity prayer, the third step prayer, and just, you know, just kind of have a conversation with God. And I have, I've always put kind of a rug on the side of my bed, and in my new place now, my rug is bigger, and it's my prayer rug, my little meditation rug, that it's like a little safe place for me to, you know, get on my knees and pray and just turn things over. And so it's just a constant dialogue, and I know if I'm feeling empty, it's like, oh yeah, I can ask for my higher power, right, for help. There is something bigger than me. I don't have to do this all by myself. So that's a gift. I don't have to control everything. I can breathe. Yeah. Hi, Nance.
Question. Thank you for your share. The question is, do you have any sayings or anything you've heard in the rooms that you use to help you become present when your head is spinning? Many things that you've used in that way?
The question is, are there any particular sayings that I use to help me stay present that I've learned in the rooms? I think there are so many, you know, the simplest, like one day at a time, you know, live in the moment, let go, let God. And I think for me now, it's like, you know, the attitude of gratitude, like I shared, and just pausing and not reacting, and, you know, breathe in faith, breathe out fear, which I feel like lately, like I've been under so much stress at work, I was breathing out a lot, like I shared, but I have to remember to breathe in and to fill, let my diaphragm fill up with God, you know, and let, and breathe out the fear. So all the things in here that I've learned, you know, and the steps, you know, just, I think each step is something that is part of, it's like my foundation, is part of my life every day. I might not be working on a particular step, but they're just integrated in my life.
Hi. Can you talk about your recovery from the relapses you've had and how it stuck this time? And how long you've been abstinent now since your last relapse?
Okay, the question was to talk about the relapses I had and how it stuck this time and how much abstinence I have now. So I shared that I have 13 and a half years of no binging, no starving, not leaving program, not leaving the planet Earth. And I think this has been my longest absence, and the absence has given me the most peace in my life that I could be able to live with, and that other people could live with me, because when I was very restrictive with every, you know, no sugar, no this, no that, and then just that's my experience, because of being anorexic, I had to let go of that control. I still have, you know, there's definitely, I have issues, you know, my boyfriend sees me eat, he's like, you're just picking around your plate, you know, and it's so funny because I've had times where I would eat so fast and just inhale, and now it's like I eat much slower. I don't have to eat everything on my plate. I mean, because I've been a 0 and I've been a 12, and I'm 5'4", you know, and I think a gift in the last 13 and a half years is I've stayed the same size, and I have one size in my closet. And that's something, remember, a friend in program, she picked up a pair of pants. She goes, these are Barbie doll pants. You do not need to wear these anymore. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I can throw those away. So it's like I know I can go into my closet and, like, okay, this is going to fit me. You know. And I learned someone in program, someone saying, you know, just always wear pants that button and zip. So you're aware of what your size is, you know. And that's, I've had to do that because... you're more aware of your size if you're not wearing yoga pants, you know. But that's, for me, that's what I have to do unless I'm going to go do yoga, then or in my pajamas. But when I go to work and show up, I have to, you know, it helps me be aware of what size my body is, because my body can feel like I'm huge. I'm like, oh, I'm wearing a 4 or 6. I'm really not huge, you know. But my head will still tell me that. So it's just staying connected with my sponsor too. The food, because food will start talking, and if I'm stressed out, like, okay, I don't need to eat any of that at work. I don't need to get in. That's not my food. Bring my food to work, you know. And just kind of back to when I've had the change, just like back to basics, keeping things simple, you know, not getting things too crazy. Anyone else? Hi.
Do you have a food plan or share your food with your sponsor?
The question was, do I have a food plan or share my food with my sponsor? I don't have particular foods that I do or don't eat. I kind of follow the 3 meals and 2 optional snacks. And I know for me, I know it's very clear to me if I haven't, because I kind of, like, between 3 and 4 hours between meals, and if I wait too long, my blood sugar drops, and I start to get really anxious. And I'm like, why am I so anxious? Why am I, oh, I haven't eaten, or my meal before was too small. So it's making sure I have enough protein in my diet. And I keep things pretty simple, because I find if I eat too much, or if I eat things that are just too, you know, I buy a whale, like, I'll get sick. You know, my body will just reject it. And I just kind of learned that keeping my food pretty simple, it helps me. But I don't have a real rigid, like, this is what I'm eating. And I don't call in my food unless there's something like, you know, I've been eating this every day, and I'm, you know, and it's got sugar in it. So I need to kind of stay away from that. So that's it. Thanks.